Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Today, our guest is Brian. Brian, let us know who you are and where you live.
My name is Dr. Brian Laskin. I am a dentist and entrepreneur based in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Oh, that's great. So, Brian, will you let us know from where you got the inspiration to start this business?
So, I've been interested in technology my entire life and went into dentistry. And as I, early on in my dental career, started training other dentists on other people's technologies. Then had a couple ideas, started developing technologies on our own. And through doing that, and then a couple other big sort of experiences along the way, selling my practices to a large group where I sort of saw different aspects of the industry. I sold my dental practices. I sold multiple technology businesses in dentistry. And so I sat back and thought, what's the biggest problem that I'm uniquely positioned to solve? And so that's what I've been working on for the last 2.5 years, is solving what I think is the biggest problem in dentistry and translates to healthcare also, so that hopefully we can help improve people's lives.
So Brian, what do you think, how AI can support or can improve the processes in dentistry?
How can what? Excuse me?
How artificial intelligence can improve the processes and things and in dentistry?
Well, probably the better question is how can it not? I think there's a lot, right? I'm a big, you can talk about the threats and opportunities both within AI. And what I would say definitively is, how are you leveraging AI in dentistry today is very different than it's going to be. I think people think of AI in dentistry as a front-end application, things like reading an x-ray. But in my opinion, it's going to be a back-end. It's going to be the engine by which a lot of things run. Everything from predicting outcomes in treatments to making care more accessible to making streamlining every aspect of the dental experience. So I believe that there probably is not a part of the dental experience that will be untouched by AI, except for the human-to-human interaction, right? There's so much that we do in dental practices every day that are boring, laborious, mundane tasks that are repetitive and would be much better off leveraging an automation layered with AI on top of it. And there's whole aspects of the industry which are going completely undiscovered because we just don't have the capability to do things that AI will be able to allow us to do. Things, like I said, like predicting outcomes and both outcomes and materials, outcomes with different providers, outcomes when it comes to diagnostics that we don't have available today.
Makes sense. So do you think insurers, the insurance companies also have a lot of interest in AI along with dentistry?
Absolutely. Now, it might not be in alignment necessarily with what I would think a clinician would think of as how to leverage AI. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I don't think you'll find, and it might not be a shocker to you, but most healthcare providers don't have a favorable experience when it comes to insurance companies, and that's both dental insurance and medical insurance. So yeah. I think that there'll be some ways that it gets leveraged that that will be in the insurance, favor or not, or when I say favor, just they're lining their pockets more than anything, right? I obviously think that they are already working on how to leverage AI, probably so that they can replace dentists doing things like approving claims, which isn't necessarily bad, right? If we can leverage artificial intelligence to be more accurate than a human being, that helps everybody. And so I think that the low hanging fruit in dentistry is to having instant adjudication of claims. If you are a dental practice, this archaic process of going reaching out to the insurance company and getting an estimate of your benefit should be a thing of the past.
Yeah, makes sense. So how do you market your tooth apps, I believe? So how are you marketing? You're marketing on social media, or you have more focus towards the offline marketing. So how it works?
Well, I would like to say we're just about to enter the bottom of the first inning when it comes to tooth apps. So tooth apps is my latest platform, and we're solving the problem, like I mentioned at the top of the podcast, the problem of what I think is the biggest problem in dentistry, which is the lack of data accessibility and interoperability. So I am relatively, you know, I have a bit of a voice. I do write books. I have a podcast. I've trained thousands of dentists. So in the dental industry, I've just been trying to spread the word organically, primarily. I do, you know, I was just out at a conference in Boston this last weekend. I had a couple lectures the week before, and I'm flying to Louisiana in a couple days to do lecturing. So I do a lot of that. But what I'm really excited about is next month in February, we're launching our patient application. So patients will, for the first time, have access to their full electronic dental records, which, by the way, is mandated by federal law. So what that means is that, sort of like, if you know of the product MyChart from Epic, which was created because Epic was doing what's now called information blocking. Epic didn't want to give patients access to their records. And that's what's been happening in dentistry. And so we're cracking that open, giving patients access to their data. And so we are going to start sort of later this quarter and early next quarter, primarily educating patients, letting them know, look, why it's so important to have access to your dental records. How if you get referred to a specialist, just bringing a piece of paper with an x-ray is not sufficient. If you move to a new location, just signing a piece of paper and then having one set of x-rays sent is not sufficient. So all sorts of, in many, many, many cases, dentists are making misdiagnoses, providing poor treatment because they don't have access to your information. So empowering patients with that information so that they can share it with the other providers. Also have the, you know, if you want to get a second opinion, there's a host of different reasons why. So we're going to be spending, I'm really excited about it because I think people do care about taking agency over their healthcare. And this hasn't been available up until, and it will be available next month for the first time.
Yeah, that's great. So again, a little bit towards the marketing and social media, what do you think, that awareness is more important in this case, or just the marketing of business?
I think awareness, absolutely. And I think that, you know, if you get like into the details of how we get the message out, I believe more in having a very targeted message. So testing our messaging and then going after a specific target for the right, you know, because you can, you know, just spreading a shotgun of messages everywhere, which I have done many times in the past, is not nearly as effective. So kind of seeing who are the right people that we want to target, what's the right message. And then, I mean, I think that's how you can really make up. I think the idea, because, you know, this podcast is how do you get big things done. And I think the idea is that you have to go big to get big things done. And I found that that doesn't have to be the case. You can be smart about it, right? Number one, I think it's easier to sell a person than a product, right? So I think that's why I have decided to do a lot of lecturing, and I have a podcast and I write books, because being the person that's providing the message, I think, is important. I don't think, if you're an entrepreneur, nobody is probably going to be more passionate about what you're doing than you. Like, I have a co-founder in my case. So my co-founder, I think, is just as passionate as me. He just doesn't like to speak from the stage. And then being really mindful of who and how you message that.
Great. So I'm not sure if, let's talk about tooth apps again. I'm not sure if tooth apps have some competitors, but if there are competitors, then what do you believe that sets tooth apps apart from the other competitors?
Well, there are components that we do. Now, the core business that we have, which is a dental health information exchange and providing patients access to their data, we have no competition, period. But there's many things that we do that we do have competition. And one of the reasons why I got into providing technology in dentistry is that most technology in healthcare is designed by people who haven't provided healthcare. It's a software engineer that has found some problem that they want to solve a technical solution for, which is great. But particularly in dentistry, everybody's so busy, and the workflow is very fast paced and unique. And so, you know, having practiced dentistry at a high level for 20 years, and having a team that has been able to execute on that, it's translated very well. You know, developing systems for my dental practices into technology that execute on those systems provides an insight that you just can't get if you don't have and then if you hire a dentist to look at it, you know, you have to know what you're looking for, right? You know, like Ford said, if you asked people what they wanted, they would have said build a faster horse, right? So I think that happens a lot in dentistry. There's a lot of faster horses, but if you're going to create transformative technology, you have to have a deep understanding, not just of technology, but of how a dental practice works.
Good. So our audience is entrepreneurs. So like we can say the big part of our audience is entrepreneurs. So entrepreneurs are always more towards failures and success. So I would like to know, how do you measure your success in this business?
Well, it's impact, right? How many patients are we impacting their lives positively? That's basically how we measure all of our success, is how many lives are we positively transforming? That's kind of the ultimate metric that we have. And I love the way you presented the question. One of our core values is success or learning, right? We don't fail. Or at least obviously you can fail if you don't learn the lesson, right? That's when you fail. Because so much of the most impactful things that have come out of learning experiences where we try something and if you go, oh, that didn't work, it absolutely worked. We learned what not to do next time, right? And those sometimes they can be some of the most painful learning experiences, but they can also be some of the most impactful.
Yeah, obviously. And I think every entrepreneur faces some challenges. Like entrepreneur without challenges is nothing. So can you share a challenge with us that you have faced, the biggest challenge you have faced?
With tooth apps, the biggest challenge I've faced, honestly, I think it's mindset. When, you know, and I've done some rather impactful things in the dental industry, but when I set out to solve what I truly believe is the biggest problem in the industry, the imposter syndrome creeps in. You know, who am I to be solving this? If other big companies haven't done this, why, you know, I'm going to be going up against these people that are, you know, have funding, which we're all self-funded, who are, you know. And so I think just quieting that critic in my own mind and going like, which, you know, in retrospect, now that we're, like I said, we're entering the bottom of the first inning and we put some good numbers on the board. Now I feel like I should be in the game, but starting the game, it was quite daunting.
Awesome. Makes sense. So what are your short-term goals in terms of tooth apps?
Short-end goals?
Yeah.
It's to launch the patient application and get patients access to their complete dental records so that they can take agency of their own oral health. That's the short-end goal. Right now, that's what we're all hands on deck launching this and getting as many dental practices to download this application for free so that they can then get it in the hands of their patients. That's the short-term goal.
Okay, so just for curiosity, maybe I just missed it somewhere. Like in this application, patients will be going to interact with one doctor, or this is for doctors as well? Like doctors can also sign up on this tooth apps?
Well, it's for, I mean, good question. It is for your electronic dental record. So for the records that your dentists have on record. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a big push in dentistry to merge medicine and dentistry so that your medical record and your dental record is one piece. I believe that that is a negative trend and that the dental record has been and should be separate from the medical record, connected. So behind the scenes, your physician should have access to your dental record. Your dentist should have access to some of the medical records that you have that are pertinent to the dental record. But that should not be one piece. You know, like we could talk about that for probably a whole day. But ultimately, dental, your dentist, your medical records are two separate things. So what we're working on is providing you your dental information. Now that could include obviously some medical information because it includes your medical history that the dentist has on record, but it also includes things like how many cavities you have, your periodontal health. If you're seeing the orthodontist or the oral surgeon, any oral home care instructions, your billing, which obviously dental insurance works almost exact opposite of medical insurance. So all of your, you know, all of that is, there's so much more information that if you mix the two, it would be, I think, confusing and unhelpful for patients. And so the short answer to your question is that Tooth Apps Patient, which is what the, with which the application is going to be called, Tooth Apps Patient, will have your comprehensive electronic dental records, including accessing your x-rays and all of the data and ability to share with other dentists. So that's what we're building. And that's what we'll build next month. Yep.
That's it. That's an information for me as well. Till now, I was just thinking about EMR, electronic medical records. So like for me, it is another information that I have dental record separate and medical record is separate. So yeah, that makes sense. Pretty makes sense.
Yep. So this is the EDR, right?
Yeah.
The electronic EDR. Dental record.
Yeah. So with this conversation, like a question just came into my mind. I'm not sure if that's a suitable question or not, but yeah. Like, how did you come to recognize the gap in the market that you can fill in with this Tooth Apps?
Sure. So I had an application that's commonly called the patient engagement solution in dentistry. Mm-hmm. And one of the most popular products we had were paperless forms. So you might have gotten where you can fill out your medical history on your phone before you see a new dentist. And there's only a few of these big software companies in dentistry that allow for things like dental records. There's not really a true electronic dental record, but they're called practice management systems because they're mainly billing engines. And then they have things like a place for a dentist to write their notes and a dental chart. And the largest vendor didn't allow us to write the medical history for a patient back into the record that they had. And the reason why is that they owned paperless forms companies. And so they couldn't compete with us if they allowed us to have this exchange of information. And I realized we had millions and millions of patients using our paperless forms. And if a dentist looked in their software in their office, they could be looking at outdated information and put patients at risk. And I had a conversation with them and they basically said, we've made a business decision to not allow you to write back. And I thought that was immoral and unethical. And now it's illegal. It's illegal. The 21st Century Cures Act, which was passed in 2022, calls that information blocking, and each single incident has a fine of up to $1 million. So that whole experience after I sold that platform, when I was thinking about the biggest problem I could solve, that's how I came up with the idea. I thought this, and that was before I even knew about the federal regulations that now make this illegal with massive fines that are just going to start being levied really in 2024 because the ONC's budget doubled in 2024 versus 2022 and 2023 to levy the fines. So what I found, for the entrepreneur, because I know I'm involved with a lot of entrepreneurial enterprises it's like watching the VHS behind the music for those who are older like me. Like every rock band story tends to follow a similar arc, right? It seems like most entrepreneurs' story tend to follow a similar arc. And part of that arc, if you're solving a big problem that you're passionate about, I've found that there's tends to be some big, some big stepping stones that get placed in front of you along the way to help you out. And that's certainly been the case with this. You know, we went after this and it was a very daunting task. I didn't know I just didn't know if we would have any impact on this problem, if we'd be able to deliver. But then as we went down the path, things just lined up serendipitously that helped us get to where we are today.
That's inspiring. So that's good. But Brian, like, what would be your biggest advice for our viewers who are watching this podcast, even they are entrepreneurs or they are going to start a new business or they're going to come up with some product? So what would be your biggest piece of advice?
The biggest piece of advice I would have is to really spend a lot of time really looking at and understanding the core problem you're looking to solve, because that, you know, along the way, that'll be your North Star. And if you're looking to solve a problem that you're not really that passionate about or doesn't align with your beliefs, it's going to be very difficult to go through the rough patches, right? And also, I've been involved with a lot of different startups, and it just makes the journey so much easier if you're solving a big enough problem. I think that's a big thing too, is, you know, if you can think of something where you're a category of one, like, you know, we're solving federal regulation that there's nothing else that exists. So come when we launch it, by default, every dental practice in America will be federally mandated to use our application, right? And the only way for patients to get access through their information will be through our application. And we've built some moats and some fences around that too. So that is a much more, it's a just better place to be in than if you have 10,000 customers or 10,000 competitors. But I also do feel, on the flip side of that, sometimes having competition is a great way, because it's easy to sell a solution that people are already buying. Just if you build a better mousetrap, if you're cheaper or whatever it is, they're two different strategies. But I think, what I would distill it down to is really pick the right problem that's inspiring to you, and pick the right strategy of how you're going, of what you're going to bring, the real value you're going to be bringing to the end consumer.
Makes sense. So how we can identify the biggest problems?
I think that's tough for me, because I just lived the problem for so long. And I think that that's one of my unique abilities, is really because I have hypervigilance, so it's easy for me to see problems. That's kind of comes naturally to me, is finding the problem and just asking, why hasn't this been done before? You know, I like to always say to people, like, it really took till the 80s till they put wheels on suitcases, right? How many people were lugging around a heavy suitcase before somebody said, hey, why don't we actually put wheels on these things, right? And that's kind of, I think I'm the kind of guy that sees that you should put wheels on suitcases, right? And so, you know, if you don't have that ability, then maybe, you know, I guess doing a lot of research might help. But it's kind of hard if you're, you know, there's a reason why Ford knew not to make a faster horse. So I think that is just for me, it's sort of an innate thing. That I just can't see I can't see things without poking holes in them, which is a blessing and a curse, right?
And I believe this is connected with experience as well. So yeah, naturally.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it certainly helps me in dentistry that I was a high performing dentist for 20 years. Right. And I think that you bring up a good point. Don't be too quick to try to solve a problem you don't understand. Yeah. You know, Smile Direct Club was the biggest company in dentistry, or one of the biggest companies in dentistry, 6 months ago, and they just filed Chapter 11. I personally have seen a couple patients where they move teeth where there's no bone. So there's a wickedly smart entrepreneur that was trying to solve a problem they didn't understand. So making sure you're intimately aware of the problem before you start creating a solution is a would makes a lot of sense too.
Yeah, completely makes sense. Completely makes sense. So it was good to talk to you, Brian. I learned a lot of things, and I hope our viewers must have learned a lot of things. So would you please let our viewers know how they can reach you and how they can reach Tooth Apps?
Sure. It's pretty easy. So you could go to Tooth Apps, TOOTHAPPS, Tooth Apps. .com, and my name with a Y, Bryan, at toothapps.com.
Great. Thanks, Brian. It was really nice. It was my pleasure to talk to you. And thanks. Have a good day. Bye-bye.